Every crisis brings out the best and the worst in people, isn't it? And every crisis also brings out the best people and the worst people. And we are getting to see both of these kinds during these days of the pandemic. Here is how I see it. If this pandemic has not made us a more loving people, if this pandemic has not made us a more caring and compassionate people, then we've missed a great opportunity. Folks, my homily today is very brief because I want to take time to explain the larger guidelines to prepare the communities for coming for Mass on Sunday. But I want to say this to just in one point. I have 3 points in my homily, and it is online and on a podcast as well. I will put it later. But I'm going to condense all of that into one point and then continue with some guidelines, which I think is very important for me to communicate today. This gospel reading from John that we have centers around love. And the section of John, this particular section of John, this is the farewell discourse by Jesus in the Gospel of John, is held together by 4 statements on the fruits of loving or not loving Jesus. So the first invitation is to love Jesus first. But there is a certain way to love Jesus and the fruit that comes from that kind of loving. The 4 statements are, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will give you another advocate to be with you always. Second statement, whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Third statement, whoever loves me will keep my word. Fourth statement, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. So it's all around love and keeping God's commandments. And to those who do, an advocate, a paraclete, the Spirit of truth is promised. So, here is the only point that I'm going to make with practical implications for us today. I want to talk about the Spirit of truth. One of the fruits of loving Jesus is that he will ask the Father to give his disciples another paraclete, advocate. And this paraclete will be with the disciples forever. Now, this ever-abiding paraclete will set the disciples apart from the rest of the world. Jesus says that the world cannot receive the Spirit because it does not know the Spirit. We do. Now, where does the Spirit of truth lead us? If I read from the first reading that we read today from the Acts of the Apostles, did you notice that Philip was in Samaria? How significant is that? Those of us who have not done any deep scriptural studies should know by now that Jews and Samaritans were bitter enemies. They were the same people. But age-old enmity kept them apart. We know that from the stories of the Samaritan woman, the Good Samaritan. How is it that Philip is led into enemy territory to preach the gospel? In fact, when the people in Jerusalem, the apostles in Jerusalem, heard that Philip was in Samaria and the people there had opened themselves to the gospel, and they were seeing wonders and miracles in Samaria, the folks from Jerusalem rushed to Samaria, and they laid hands on the Samaritans, and they received the Holy Spirit. They were baptized. What am I trying to say? The Spirit of truth is actually the Spirit of love. You see, the post-resurrection and the post-Pentecost world is supposed to be a very embracing world, a unifying world. When the disciples were inclined to to stay inward or look inward, the Holy Spirit was leading them outward. And these days, as a result of the pandemic, there is a tremendous amount of temptation to be closed. Tremendous amount of temptation to look only at ourselves, only our faith, only our nation, only our race, only our community. But the Spirit of Truth leads the disciples in a very opposite direction. It's to an open-heartedness and an embracing. In other words, the Spirit of Truth is the Spirit of love and unity and harmony. If the pandemic has not made us a more loving people, it's because we are not looking at the world with the Spirit of Truth. The fact that we don't end up being orphans or desolate, as John says in today's, is because Jesus tells us that this Spirit of Truth will teach us to live differently. The quality of life is different. This presence of God, this presence of Jesus, Jesus says, I will come to you again, is both an external and an internal, an indwelling presence. And of course, our mind goes to the Eucharist for the external presence, isn't it? The body and blood of Christ, which we will receive in a few weeks from now, that is for us the external dwelling of God among us. And then we have the Holy Spirit we have received, who is the indwelling presence within us. But let me take you just a little deeper. I know we have this external and the indwelling presence, but more than in any other way, Jesus is present to his disciples in the love that disciples show Jesus by following his commandments. In other words, that action of actually loving God, which leads us to follow his commandments of loving another, that itself, that action itself is the presence of God. That is a sacramental presence. Not the seven sacraments, but in what I mean is that in that action, God becomes present. In loving, God becomes present because God is love. So Jesus says, whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Love makes God present to us, both as external and indwelling presence. The fact is, love is presence. Without that love, this Eucharist means nothing. Without that love, the Holy Spirit cannot act in our lives. Love is presence. Of course, Jesus opens another possibility to us, right? Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. It's an alternative. People might follow that. That's okay. But that's not us. The section of John's Gospel is held together by four statements I said on the fruits of loving or not loving Jesus. So if we love Jesus, we'll bear a different kind of fruit. And if we don't love Jesus, we'll bear a different kind of fruit. In this time of the pandemic, whether we love Jesus and keep his commandments can be seen in the fruit we have borne. So here is the practical implication for today. Because of us, during this pandemic, did the world become a more contentious place or a more understanding place? In this time of pandemic, because of us, did the world become a more loving place or a more divided place? What kind of conversations do we support these days as we hear it in the public discourse? During this pandemic, because of us, did someone else experience love and care, or did they experience judgment, condemnation, rejection? What is the fruit we have borne in the last 2 months since we have not come for Mass in the church?